This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
All right, inshallah. We're going to go ahead, inshallah, and begin for tonight. Bismillah walhamdulillah. As-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. How's everyone doing? Alhamdulillah. Doing okay? Could be worse, right? It's always good to play a game of could be worse. Always reminds you, alhamdulillah, that things are not so bad as they could possibly be. So, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow everyone to heal from any sort of sicknesses or illnesses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal any sort of hearts that are in pain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lift any sort of heaviness off of people's hearts and burdens off of people's shoulders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless everybody and keep everyone's family safe and healthy. I mean, so we're going to continue on with our Cultivating Character series. And we reach a chapter today that is one of the most, I would say, one of the most descriptive chapters in the entire surah, or one of the most descriptive segments in the entire surah. And because this segment is all about the idea of suspicion, about spying, about backbiting, about, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a very, very serious analogy in this particular ayah that kind of brings everyone to a realization of how heinous the crime of backbiting actually is. And it's a famous one that is used in the Quran that a lot of people reference when it comes to the entire idea of backbiting in and of itself. So inshallah, we'll dive into a little bit of that today. So Allah ta'ala, he begins this verse. He says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhanni inna ba'd adh-dhanni ithm." Okay? So he begins by saying, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu." O you who believe. Okay? "Ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhanni." He says, avoid many suspicions. Okay? Dhan, by the way, in Arabic means the idea of thinking of someone or the thoughts that you have of somebody. Okay? And this is why the opposite of su'ud dhan is husnud dhan. Su' means like evil, you know, thoughts that are not so good of other people, suspicions and, you know, things that we may think of someone that may not be true, or even if it is true, it's things that we think badly of. And then you have what we call husnud dhan. Husnud dhan basically means good thoughts, good assumptions, giving your brother or sister the benefit of the doubt, giving them 70 excuses. This is what husnud dhan would be. And, you know, when you look at the prophetic community in Medina, and then obviously in Mecca, one of the elements that kept that community flourishing was the fact that everybody in that community or in those communities had extremely good thoughts of one another. They would constantly be giving each other excuses before they would accuse one another of certain things, right? That if they saw somebody doing something that may look somewhat, you know, questionable, they would always think to themselves that, you know what, I know this person and they've been in my life for so long and I've built such a relationship with them that I would never think of them to be such and such. There must be a reason why I'm seeing what I'm seeing, right? And unfortunately, the opposite of this, that when a person is lacking husnul dhan, it's replaced with what we call su'ud dhan, which means evil thoughts of people. The moment we see somebody doing even something remotely questionable, we automatically assume the absolute worst of that person. And so Allah Ta'ala, he gives us a beautiful lesson in this ayah about how to avoid being a person who is filled with bad thoughts of other people. How to be a person who trains the heart to think well of other people. Y'all ever heard that word or that phrase, like well-wishers? You know, like you want to, like people who are close to you should be people who are well-wishers of you. I mean, how do you get to a status of wishing well upon people? So at the end of today's session, inshallah, we're going to kind of put in practicality a few of the steps, a few of the bullet points of how to develop within one's heart the idea of wishing well or thinking well of another brother or sister. Because at the end of the day, remember, these ayat begin with, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, right? There's a reason, and it's not a coincidence that Allah doesn't say, Ya ayyuhannas. He could have easily said, Ya ayyuhannas, ijtanibu kathira min al-dhan. But he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ijtanibu kathira min al-dhan. He says, oh, you believers, avoid too many suspicions with other believers. Because one of the qualifiers of, you know, why a person deserves good thoughts and good assumptions is because they believe in Allah, right? If a person believes in Allah, they believe in this life of morality that is focused around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know that they know or they should know what right and wrong is, right? And so even when you see them doing something that may not seem completely right, you give them the benefit of the doubt because they are believers in God. They believe in Allah. They believe in the Messenger. So I know that even if something doesn't look right, there must be an explanation that I might not know about. And this is what the prophetic community was all about, okay? And then he says, "Inna ba'adha dhanni ithm." Okay? He says, verily, okay? Verily, "Inna ba'adha dhanni ithm." That verily with some, ba'adha, some assumptions come ithm, sinfulness, wrongfulness. Now let's dissect this here. What do y'all think this means? What do y'all think it means when Allah says that verily with some assumptions, not all, but some assumptions come sinfulness? What do y'all think that means? Somebody want to take a shot at this? What do y'all think it means? Why does he use some? What's like the trick here as like a human? What's like the nafsi trick that shaitan kind of plays on us? He says that verily with some assumptions come sinfulness. Why did Allah Ta'ala use some instead of all assumptions? Anybody? There's a really beautiful explanation here. Yeah. You can have good and bad assumptions about people, okay? I'll give you a hint. I'm going to help you all out a little bit. Are all the bad assumptions you make of people false all the time? No. Exactly. Some bad assumptions you make of certain people turn out to possibly be true, right? That I saw this person and it looked like they were doing X, Y, and Z, and it turns out that they actually were doing X, Y, and Z, right? And the trick here is that a person, shaitan begins to coax and persuade a person that, oh, you were right that one time. So go ahead, lay out one of them other assumptions. You're like shooting one for one right now. Why not make it two for two, right? And even if you're like one for two, why not try and make it two for three? Here we go, right? We're playing the percentages here. And a human being begins to believe in their heart that as long as I am in the right the majority of times, I'm good. Like when somebody says, oh man, you shouldn't make too many assumptions about people. And you're like, well, actually, you know, the 10 times I've assumed something of somebody, 7 out of those 10 times I was right. 70%, I was right more than I was wrong. But this is where Allah, he says, "Inna ba'adha dhanni ithm." That verily, with some of those assumptions, come heavy sins. So what is Allah teaching us here? He's teaching us that even if you were right 7 out of 10 times, the 3 times that you were wrong weigh heavier than the 7 times that you were right. Does that make sense? That, you know, as a believer, you don't believe that the times that you were right are automatically equivalent to the times that you were wrong. Because people don't realize the times that you were wrong, you could have really destroyed a person's karama, a person's honor. You could have completely destroyed a person's image in front of other people. You could have completely broken up a friendship that was actually beautiful. You could have made another person think very, very badly of them when there was nothing there to begin with. And so that one time where your assumption was not correct, it's not just one time you were wrong. It actually led to several, almost like a domino effect of things that went badly for that person because of that assumption that you gave them. Does that make sense? So Allah Ta'ala is saying that as a Muslim, you don't want to play the percentages. Because shaitan will try to kind of convince you like that. Oh yeah, man, you're good. Yeah, you're fine. It doesn't matter if you mess up a couple times. It doesn't matter if you mess up just a few times. No, it's okay. This is one of those situations, by the way, and I want to kind of, you know, mention this. This is a really important point here. That in Islam, generally, when it comes to like inward thoughts, not translating out into actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not hold that person accountable for their thoughts, right? We all know this, right? That when a thought becomes an action, and that action is an amal, a deed that is bad, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable. But when it's a thought, like I can't, for example, like I can't go by and walk by a person and, let's say for example, like I'm fasting in the month of Ramadan and there's like a piece of like food that's out on the countertop and I just think about how delicious it would taste at like 4:30, and I just think about it for like 10 minutes. I'm not held accountable for that, right? Because I didn't do anything. I thought about it. This is almost like a human inclination. I didn't actually eat it. Now, if I ate it, I broke my fast. Then there's, you know, some sort of sin that is involved. But this conversation is very different because jealousy, bad thoughts, ill intent with other people may actually lead to other bad things that can happen in regards to sin for that person who's thinking that way. Okay, a jealous thought, a person who is constantly jealous, may be a person who allows their jealousy to turn into action very easily. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he mentions this several times. He says that how foolish is a person who is jealous, because they don't really end up harming the person who they're jealous of as much as they harm themselves, right? When I go to sleep at night and I'm jealous of a person, the person who I'm jealous of may have no idea that I even exist. I might just be like a thought to their mind. But here I am, tossing and turning in my bed, not sleeping properly because I have so much ill thought of that person and so much jealousy of that person, right? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions ba'adha, this idea of some assumptions. Inna ba'adha dhanni ithm, okay? And then he continues and he says, wala tajassasu, okay? Wala tajassasu. He says, and do not spy on one another. Do not spy on one another. And this comes from a very, very beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions, he says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَظَنَّ فَإِنَّ ظَنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. He says, be wary of having too many thoughts in your mind of people. You know, like, sometimes, subhanAllah, it's interesting, right? When you sit with your friends, a lot of times you can tell the quality of that friendship by the conversations that take place in those circles, right? That when the conversation in that friendship always turns out to be something of benefit, those are the people you really hold near and dear to you. But sometimes when the conversation always revolves around the stories of other people, sometimes, you know, you realize that there's not much to this friendship besides us just talking mess about folks constantly. And we think about this person and that person, and those thoughts are not in good ways. Those thoughts are always, oh, did you hear about that? Did you hear about his situation? Did you hear about her situation? Did you hear about what they did? So the Prophet says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَظَنَّ. Be wary of too many assumptions in your mind. Don't make assumptions. If you don't know something, just remain quiet. There's a very beautiful hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, he says, أَصَمَتَ نَجَى. مَنْ صَمَتَ نَجَى. A person who is silent is a person who's saved. Why? Because that person does not allow themselves to say anything that will incriminate them. The moment that it leaves your lips is a moment where you can be held accountable for that thing now. That I can't just sit with a group of people and say, hey, I'm just leaving this out here for y'all. Y'all do what you want with this information. But I saw that brother last week. And like, continue. Like, nope, that's all I'm going to say. And Habibi, this brother thinks that he did himself a favor. Rather, what he did was he took a match, lit it on fire, dropped it inside of like a home and just walked away. Well, I'm not going to say anything more. No, but you allowed it to escape. And now it actually might do more harm. Where you think to yourself that you didn't do anything because you didn't go full force, but you actually began it. You began it. And in a weird way, you actually saying, and you, are you not saying that, hey, you know what? I'm sorry, that was my mistake. I shouldn't have said that. Let's just kind of like put a lid on it and move on. I don't want to talk about that, man. But a person who just lights the match, drops it, and then walks away from it, they could have done twice as much harm. So the Prophet says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَظَنَّ فَإِنَّ ظَنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. He says, verily, much assumption or false assumptions are the worst. It's the worst form of speech. It derives the worst form of speech. When you have a group of people who are all thinking badly of one person, what can you, if betting was halal, what can you bet your money on? That there's going to be a conversation within that group of people that will revolve around that assumption for hours. For hours. How many times have we gotten caught up in the mix of this? Right? We all have a problem with that one guy. So me and the guys are going to meet up tonight at 9 o'clock and, oh yeah, we're just going to go out to dinner. No problem. La mushkil. But what happens for 2 hours during that dinner? Man, that dude, bro, like, I can't believe this guy. It's like getting on my nerves now. And initially, it may begin as like, let's figure out how to solve this, right? And then, unfortunately, it never stops there. It never stops there because, you know, we'll talk about this, inshallah, because a lot of people, they begin with this intention of, yeah, I'm just doing this because, you know, we're trying to figure this issue out. But the issue is, what happens? Where's the line between trying to solve a sincere problem and where it now kind of dabbles into just mindless and pointless bashing on a human being without any remorse whatsoever? You were discussing maybe this person's a little bit rude, and then all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, you are trashing his entire family. Habibi, what does his family have to do with it? Now, not only are you speaking about, you know, the issue at hand, you're talking about the way the guy's face looks. You're like, what? Like, what happened here? Where do we get here? From that? How did it get over here? But you see, this is why, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he says that shaitan runs through the veins of people. Right? Shaitan runs through the veins of people. Meaning that, you know, he's constantly trying. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. Any chance he gets. And we'll talk about this when we talk about a little bit of the ways to remedy this. We'll talk about, inshallah, how to repel shaitan when those moments take place. Okay? So he says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not spy on one another. Now, some of the ulama, they actually talk a little bit about this. What is tajassus? What does that mean? So tajassus means, in Arabic, it means harboring ill intentions and spying with the intent to expose based off of those ill intentions. Okay? Harboring ill intent and spying with the base of that ill intent. Right? Because sometimes, and we'll cover this because another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he says, وَلَا تَحَسَّسُ. Okay? He says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ وَلَا تَحَسَّسُ. Okay? He says, and don't commit tahassas. So what is that? What is tahassasu? Tahassasu is inquiring with what you've convinced yourself is a good reason. Okay? Like, you're curious. I just want to know more about this person, right? No harm, no foul, right? Just wanting to learn more about him or her. What do they do? What do they like, right? And the person almost convinces themselves that, yeah, I have good reason to do this, right? I'm not doing tajassus. Relax. Like, I don't hate the guy. I'm just curious. I don't hate this girl. I'm just curious to see what she really is like, right? And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, stay away from both. Why? وَلَا تَبَاغَدُوا وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا وَكُونُوا عِبَادِ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. He says, and do not hate each other, nor commit tadabur, and be brothers with one another. And this is why there was a very, very famous statement where a scholar one time, he said that tajassus means to like actively go out. Like a person who's guilty of tajassus is a person who's like actively going out there looking for faults in people. Like, it takes a degree of like wrongfulness to have that personality. where you're quite literally waiting in the corner. It's like, you know, mashallah, I know Faiz over here is a good guy. But I was like, Faiz is like watching me, right, from like 50 feet away, and he's waiting. He's just waiting for a minute for me to mess up or slip up or say one thing and then blast it on a group chat, right? Just waiting for that moment. The intention is to get that person to mess up, to get that person to slip up. Now, if anybody struggles with that disease of wanting a person's demise, oh, we have to ask ourselves who we really are. We have to ask ourselves who we really are. That we are praying for the downfall of people. Oh, I can't wait till that person messes up. Oh, I bet they won't mess up. Oh, just wait till they mess up. I'm gonna get them. You're just waiting for them to do it, right? It's almost like the people who are like watching you in prayer, right? Like, brother, shouldn't you be praying? Like, why are you focusing on my prayer more than yours? There's certain people who just are waiting for somebody to mess up. That's tajassus, okay? And then the scholar, he says, tahassus or tahassus means listening to people when they are talking or engaging with one another without their permission. Like, you might not have ill intent, but man, you just love the drama. You just love it. You can't get enough chai from suhbah, so you gotta spill a little bit of it everywhere you go. You gotta grab some tea everywhere you go because you just can't get your fix of it. And tahassus is interesting because a person can convince themselves that, like, nah, man, this is just who I am. My ears are just like a fox. You know, like, I can't help it. I just hear things. Like, no. Turn the ears off. You know, subhanAllah, I'll share something that's very, you know, kind of, you know, it's personal to me. In our office inside of Roots, you know, when myself and Ustad Murphy are meeting with people, meeting with community members, we have other, you know, staff members that work with us, Brother Mu'min, Sister Sundas, and other people. And the moment that a sensitive conversation comes up, you know, they actually turn on, we have a white noise machine in the office. Just press it, and all you hear is like a baby sleeping. It's like what it sounds like for like 30 minutes straight. And subhanAllah, you know, and for a long time I was like, oh no, it's okay, you know, it's not a big deal. Until they're like, I don't even want to give myself a chance. I don't want to give myself a chance, man. Shaitan is already so clever in the way that he convinces humanity to fall into wrongfulness that I don't need to help him in any way whatsoever. So if there's like a conversation that's going on around us that's remotely kind of like piquing my interest and I know I have no business listening to it, it is up to me now to get up and walk away. Because I know I might hear something that's just gonna get me deeper and deeper into this ditch. And I don't want to. I have to tell myself, I don't want to. You know those people that are like, drama just always follows me around. I have no idea how it happens. Just don't get it. Every friend group that I go to, just drama. I'm like, I'm just going to put like a third person camera on you and allow you to watch yourself in real time, right? There has to be a moment where a person realizes that it's not around me, it is me. It doesn't follow me. I follow me, right? I'm the person who's following in my footsteps. So, wala tajassasu, wala tahassasu, okay? So he says, do not spy on one another, especially looking for people's faults. Looking for people's faults. And there are so many stories about how, you know, subhanAllah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hides a person's sins, there is no right that a human being has to resurface those sins back. That Allah ta'ala is the one who actually mitigated it and pushed it into privacy. There's no right that a person has to resurface that, okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions here, he says, after wala tajassasu, he says, وَلَا تَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. Now this is where it gets like, you gotta like pull up your sleeves a little bit. This is like really, really deep now. He says, وَلَا تَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. and do not... Sorry. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Sorry, thank you for the correction. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. So he says, and do not backbite on one another. Because all of these things, they lead to one another. Right? إِنَّ بَعْضَ ظَنِّ إِثْمٍ. Right? The evil, the bad thoughts you have of somebody. And then, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. And then you began to look for their faults. What does it lead to? وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. It leads to a person now completing the circle, which is now officially allowing those words to escape their lips. Right? It's almost like poetic. It's almost like a story. It began with this, it grew into this, and now it became this, which is now almost uncontrollable. Okay? Do not allow it to get to that stage. And here particularly, you know, the Prophet ﷺ one time was asked, because everybody has that question, like, what is backbiting? Because I know after the session's over, I'm going to have like 10 people come up to me like, well, you know, this one time I was sitting with a friend and we said this and this, was that backbiting? Or like, is that okay? I mean, that person did this. Now listen to this hadith very, very carefully. Because somebody asked the Prophet ﷺ, this is Abu Dawood, said that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh said, it was asked of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, you know, what, Ya Rasulullah, what is backbiting? O Messenger of Allah, what is backbiting? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاقَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. He says that you mention something about your brother or sister that يَكْرَهُ, they do not like. You mention something about them that they don't like. Okay? Now notice, did the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith mention whether it was something good or something bad? Didn't specify. Did not specify. He said, mentioning your brother or sister in a way that they would not like. Okay? And he was asked to follow up, Ya Rasulullah, what if my brother or sister was exactly what I mentioned? Like, what if he or she was exactly as I said that they were? And then the Prophet ﷺ, he says, إِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ اغْتَبْتَهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ بَهَتَّهُ. He says that if he was exactly as you mentioned, you committed exactly what backbiting is. And if he was not, meaning that you lied about it, what you said was not true, it was false, then you have committed something that's even worse, and it's what we call slander. Namima, right? Not only talking about somebody, but now talking about somebody in a way that is absolutely false. Okay? So let's talk about this for a second. This is going to be a really cool exercise because it's going to help us, inshallah, understand a little bit. I'm going to pause for a second. I'm going to ask everyone, and it's going to be a really great exercise. Since the Prophet ﷺ, he said, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاقَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. It is mentioning something about your brother or sister that they do not like. In what way can backbiting be something that you mention that is actually positive about a person? Think of a scenario. How is that possible? Because when we think of backbiting, we think of negativity. We think things that are bad. But the Prophet didn't say things that are negative, because that's now slander, namima. But he said that backbiting, ghiba, is talking about somebody in a way that they would not like that you said that. So I'm going to pause for literally like 2 to 3 minutes. I'm going to give you guys a chance, inshallah, talk to the person next to you. And I want you to come up with an example or reflect on a time in your life where this was actually something that was relevant, where it was backbiting. It wasn't actually about something that was false, and it was still considered backbiting, or that person did not appreciate it. Okay? Bismillah. Go ahead. Talk to each other. All right, let's hear some thoughts, inshallah. Bismillah. What do we got? All right, how can, how can backbiting, involve speaking about a person, even if it's not false, but how can it involve even talking about a person in a way that they wouldn't like? Bismillah. An example, you had in the back? Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? Like very, very good example, right? Even being mindful of the way that we choose to like describe people, right? Oh, like what does that person look like? Oh yeah, man, like they're like kind of short. It's like, you know, and subhanAllah, it might not be a big deal because you're almost using it as like a qualifier of like height, right? It's not like a dig. But perhaps, you know, maybe that person would feel a little bit, you know, a little bit hurt that's the first thing you thought of them. I mean, Allahu Adam. I mean, I don't know, right? This is like, again, it also really teaches you a depth of sensitivity, man. Like, you know, sensitivity training, subhanAllah, right? That you're able to pick up and be aware of things that certain people may actually not want you to say or want you to, you know, even, you know, I guess suggest about them, right? Very good. Very, very good. Anybody else? Yes? Yeah, 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 exactly. I'll give you a prime example. MashaAllah, man, they got real nice clothes. Right? You see? You see the difference? You see the difference in the way that a person says it? Oh, MashaAllah, they got really nice clothes. MashaAllah, man, real nice clothes. You know, like, subhanAllah, man, Allah has given the human being the fluctuation ability that He has not given any other, like, creation on earth. The way that we just say things, right? One suggests, mashallah, right? Another suggests, astaghfirullah. You understand? So it's so interesting that she mentions even the tone, right? The tone of usage of certain words, right? Very good. Anybody else? Yes.
I think just sharing facts about people that they necessarily don't want out there.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 exactly. Like if they started a new job. Yeah. Yeah, 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 absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this happens all the time with people's private, you know, like announcements that they choose to make, right? One person they told in privacy and confidentiality, and then all of a sudden, mashallah, the entire ummah is aware of this news. And we have no idea where it started from. It's like a really bad episode of The Office, right? Like, where did it start? We have to track it back. Subhanallah, right? You know, it's scary how fast, you know, news travels, subhanallah. Yeah, anybody else want to share? Yes, go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, can I give you guys a pro tip? Just as an older brother, just say alhamdulillah and try to downplay everything that you have. Not in like an ungrateful way. I'm talking about in a very, very humble way, right? Somebody asks you, oh, like, what do you drive? Alhamdulillah, you know, just gets me from point A to point B. You know, like, what degree do you have? There's a part of you that's gonna be like, oh, I got a civil, I don't know, whatever. Like, you know, I have a biomedical engineering degree, right? Like, there's a part of you that wants to shout it. A part of you is like, no, alhamdulillah, you know, just, you know, science. You know, like, no, you're just downplaying it, right? I mean, there are certain people who are like the opposite of this, where they're like, they ask you like, oh, what do you do? Oh, it's like the Facebook, you know, like the bio that goes on forever. You have to scroll. They're the entrepreneur and the owners of 8 different companies for some reason. How did that work? And so you want to be the opposite of that, right? Somebody asks you what you do and you're like, oh, alhamdulillah, you know, I go to work, you know. What do you do? Ah, you know, stuff here and there. You know, I'm a salesman, right? Nothing big, you know. You know, there's a person, subhanAllah, I met. Y'all know the Y'all know the solo stove? Like, you know, like the bonfire pit that's like super beautiful and they're for some reason like $800? So one time I was in my masjid and I actually met one of like the high up, like, you know, he must be like a majority shareholder owner of Solo Stove. And I was at my masjid and I was giving khutbah, and after it was over, he came up and introduced himself to me and I said, you know, assalamu alaikum. He's like, oh, mashallah, I just really enjoyed the khutbah, blah, 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 all that stuff. And I was like, alhamdulillah, good, we're Allah accept. And he goes, you know, he's like, yeah, he's like, we should hang out sometime. I said, yeah, alhamdulillah, for sure, man. I was like, I live in Carrollton. And I was like, where do you live? He goes, oh, I live right here in this city. And I was like, okay, alhamdulillah. I was like, what do you do? He's like, oh, I just sell things. I was like, I don't know if I want to be friends with this guy. He's like, I just sell things. I was like, oh, okay. Like, what kind of business? He goes, oh, it's really boring. It's like, you know, I just sell like heaters. I was like, heaters? Like, what? And he's like, yeah, just, you know, like things that you like, basically like outdoor like cookware and stuff like that. I'm like, this guy's like, he's like pulling teeth. I'm like, come on, man, just say the name. Like after like 5 minutes, he actually, subhanAllah, you know what it took? It took for me to say that I love Solo Stoves for him to be like, oh yeah, like I love them too. And I was like, and so he then it came out randomly, but he tried so hard to keep it a secret because he just didn't want to say it. You know, it's incredible, man. Like, he just doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't want to, like, basically shout it. He doesn't want to exclaim it, right, like, loudly. And this is so incredible, you know. And I gave this example in a masjid that I was teaching this at a couple of weeks ago about how, like, the example of even, for example, let's say you're at, like, a fundraiser and somebody gives, like, $10,000 privately. You just happen to see that person. They didn't even raise their hand. They just wrote out a check and you just happen to see them. And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, did you hear this person gave $10,000? That person, you know, $10,000. Isn't that crazy? Wow, subhanAllah, you know, must be really, mashallah, so generous. Even though, like, your niya is praising them for their generosity, they may have wanted to keep that amal between them and Allah. They may have wanted to keep that action between them and Allah. So even if you saw it, it actually should not have been publicized by you, because they clearly didn't want it to be publicized in the first place. That's why they did it so quietly, right? So there's an importance to that. There's an importance to making sure that we adhere to this lesson, not even in moments that are just purely evil, like talking badly about people, but even moments where you talk even possibly good about people, praising people certain, you know, sometimes. Oh, wow, mashallah, they have a huge house. I don't know, maybe that person doesn't want to be known for that. Maybe their house is quite literally because they have 7 kids. I don't know. Like, but you're out here telling people that they have a big house because, like, wow, mashallah, they must be doing well. No. They have a huge house because they quite literally have their kids, father, mother, mother-in-law, father-in-law, uncle, and all living in the same house. Like, perhaps that's the situation that they're in, right? So we also have to be mindful about this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll end with this inshallah today because we don't have too much time, but I wanted to get this last analogy in. He says here, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ. Would you like to, you know, eat from the flesh, you know, أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا, your dead brother or sister? And when a person reads that line of Quran, they're like, wow, this is appalling. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention such a terrible scene, right? And then he answered it. He says, فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. No, you would hate it. You would hate it. Let me answer that question for you. It's like a rhetorical, right? Like, would you like to eat the flesh of your a dead brother or sister? No, you would absolutely hate it. You would run away from it. So why would you think about doing something like this? Because the gravity of the action is that serious. And I wanted to share an incredible, incredible story that took place in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that really illustrates it. I want everyone to kind of like just follow along because it's really, mashallah, man. It really like shook me when I read this. So this hadith, it basically comes in the form of a interaction the Prophet ﷺ had with a man. And so this man, he came up to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I have committed zina. I've committed adultery. Admits it. Okay? Just straight says it. No sort of hesitation. No, you know, miscommunication. No sort of word, you know, usage that's unclear. No. He straight said it. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, I'm guilty of zina, of adultery. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he turned away from him. And then this man, he continued to repeat it 4 times after that. Ya Rasulullah, I've committed zina. Ya Rasulullah, I've committed zina. Ya Rasulullah. On the 5th time, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he turns to him, he says, Zanaita. He goes, you've committed zina? The 5th time the Prophet asked this. And this man, he says, Na'am ya Rasulullah. Without shadow of a doubt, I've committed zina. And then the Prophet, he says, Watadri ma zina? He says, do you understand what zina is? Like, do you know what it is? Like, do you know what the definition is? And he says, yes, ya Rasulullah, it's the likes of a person who does something with a person that is illegal for them to do, that would be lawful for a husband and a wife to do. This is what zina is. And then the Prophet, he says, ما تريد إلى هذا القول. He goes, what do you want me to do with this? That's the Prophet. He goes, what do you want me to do with the statement that you just gave me? What do you seek to accomplish by telling me this? And then he says, Ya Rasulullah, I intend that you purify me, Ya Rasulullah. I can't handle the burden of this anymore, Ya Rasulullah. I can't live with this anymore, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and just to keep the narration a little bit more just kind of community friendly, the Prophet then asked a question that was extremely detailed. Like, and just to kind of give you just the gist of it, he was making sure 100% that this man, he knew what the definition of adultery was, and not just like, oh, you know, we spend time privately. Oh, we embraced one another. Oh, you know, we talked in a really flirtatious manner. He said, no. Have you done the actual action of zina? And he made sure absolutely clear. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, I have done exactly what you have just said. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, okay, go ahead and follow through with whatever punishment that he deserves. And later on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was on a journey and he heard two men, they were saying to one another, they were talking to one another. They said, have you not seen the man who Allah had covered his secret, but his heart could not let him rest until he was punished for what he had done? Like, have you heard of that story? They're just talking casually, just talking with one another. You know, like, it just happens in the community, gubshup, right? Oh, did you hear, man? Like, did you hear what that person did? Like, did you hear what happened? Like, can you believe that, like, he tried to hide it and it just came out? Just talking. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was with these two men and he passed by the corpse of an animal who had died on the side of the road. And he asked them, he says, Aina fulanun wa fulanun? He goes, where are those two people that I just heard talking about this? And he says, Anzila fakula min jifati hadhil himar. He says, dismount your animal. He found the two of them. He goes, and start eating from this thing right here. This dead animal right here on the side of the road. And they said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, how could you say that to us? Like, why would you say something like that? Like, why would you tell us to do something so disgusting? And then the Prophet, he says, the backbiting you just committed against your brother is worse as a meal than what I just ordered you to do. And he says, by the one in whose hand is my soul, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, he says, indeed, he, the one who you're talking about, is swimming in the rivers of paradise while you talk about him here in this dunya like this. How scary is that narration? I wanted to point out a couple of things before we get to like the actual point. What's the first thing everyone noticed here when I was reading out this hadith to you guys? That the Prophet ﷺ quite literally turned away from a person 4 times when they admitted to committing adultery. Turned away. Don't want to hear about it. What does that teach you about the Prophet ﷺ? What does that teach you? Anybody? He is not interested in thinking badly nor seeking pleasure in exacting punishment on anybody for doing this thing. I don't want to hear about it. Finally, a person says, no, Ya Rasulullah, I've done it. He says, you've done it? You have actually committed it? He says, yeah. He says, do you know what zina is? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I know what it is. It's committing this that is lawful for a husband and wife to engage in. He goes, what do you want me to do with this? It's like, you know, when you're trying to find any wiggle room, you're trying to find any sliver of room for a person to not go through a difficulty. The Prophet was trying to find any spot. And then finally he said, Ya Rasulullah, I need you to give me what I am owed, which is punishment for what I've done. I cannot live with myself, Ya Rasulullah. And then finally the Prophet, he says, okay. And then when he heard two people talking about him, he says, who are those two people? Call them to me. I want you to take a bite from this dead piece of animal that's on the side of the road. Why would you tell me to do something like that, Ya Rasulullah? Well, what you just talked about, what you just did, talking about your brother, is far worse than you acting out this action of eating the flesh of a dead animal right here, while your brother is now in Jannah and he's swimming in the rivers of paradise. I mean, if this is not enough evidence for us to understand the gravity of harm that can be done by backbiting, I don't know what will wake us up. That the Prophet A defended people who committed clear wrong. He was still on their side. Don't think that the Prophet was, you know, a supporter of you only if you were a clear-cut, clean, sinless human being. The Prophet was the first defense of a person who may have been sinful. I don't want to punish. I seek no pleasure in punishing anybody like that. Number two is make sure that if a person is guilty of something, that there is no shadow of a doubt. How many times do we throw people in jail just because we get a whiff of something that they did? Oh, we're ready to throw that person in jail and throw the keys away. Why? Oh yeah, because I heard from so-and-so that she said such and such. That's enough? That's enough to lock them in jail for life and throw the keys away and never talk to them ever again? Think about how much guilt we put people through, and look at how much verification the Prophet ﷺ went through before actually acting through with some sort of punishment for a person who could no longer live with their crime. And then after that, look at his attitude towards people who would bring up another person's private circumstances and talk about it like it's casual conversation. Oh yeah, you want to do that? It's worse for you to do that than you eating the flesh off of a dead animal on the side of the road. And I'll end with this, inshallah. There's one time, Jabir ibn Abdullah, he said that we were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we smelled a very bad smell that was carried by the wind to us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Atadruna ma hadhihi ar-rihu?" Do you want to know what the smell is? He says, "هَذِهِ الرِّيحُ الَّذِينَ يَغْتَابُونَ النَّاسِ." He says, this is the smell of people who make it a habit to speak about other people casually. You become a part of the filth that you spew about other people. You start reeking of it. You start acting like it. It almost is a part of you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to never allow us to be people who get caught up in the mix of this. And so just a couple of thoughts to end, inshallah. We have a couple of minutes left. The ways to avoid getting caught up in this, number one, is always, always have husnul dhan of your brothers and sisters. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. These are people who believe in Allah just like you do. So if you think that something is not okay for you to do, you should assume of them that they also think that it is not okay for them to do. Even if it seems like they are doing certain things that you do not think are right, give them the good assumption, the beautiful assumption that maybe I'm actually seeing this incorrectly. Blame your eyes over them and their actions. Maybe I'm seeing it wrong. Blame yourself. Blame yourself. The person who is silent is the person who has saved, the Prophet ﷺ said. Don't allow your tongue to incriminate yourself. Stay silent. Blame yourself. Blame your eyes. Maybe I haven't seen this correctly. Number two is always find good things to praise people by. The problem in our ummah nowadays is that the good things that we see 10 more bad things in somebody. Oh, mashallah, that person prayed Isha. That person also lied to me last week. That person also did this last week. This person also did that last month. I mean, it's so easy to accumulate the bad that this person did versus the good that this person did. So get into the habit of finding the good in people and praising them for it. Don't be a person who calls out people all the time. Don't get used to that. You will start labeling yourself the haram police wherever you go. And I'll tell you one thing, ain't nobody like you. Do not be that type of person. The next thing is, avoid, catch yourself when you are going through that pipeline. The bad assumptions, the trying to find faults, and then eventually backbiting. There's stages. Shaitan never works in one step overnight. I want you guys to know that. This big misconception is that shaitan just turns a person evil overnight. That's not how shaitan works. That's not how shaitan functions. Shaitan knows that if he is going to get you to commit things that are evil, he's going to get you to do it one step at a time. No one turns evil overnight. No one goes from praying five times a day to not praying at all in one 24-hour period. What happens is he causes you to miss one prayer, then causes you to miss two prayers, then three, then four, then five becomes normal for you. A shaitan causes you from going to being a person who thinks good of people to having one small doubt. And that one small doubt turns into you now looking for a person who is maybe, you know, made a mistake, but now you're looking for their faults. And then it goes from you looking for their faults to now you backbiting about every single thing that they do. And khalas, shaitan has accomplished his goal. You see that pipeline and how it's so vivid for us to see? We have to catch ourselves in that journey. Catch yourself in the earlier stages so it's not too hard to catch yourself in the latter stages. And then finally, always remind yourself that backbiting is not just about what is bad. Backbiting can even be things that you think that are good about other people, but it's just not something that that person would like to have mentioned about them behind their back. So, inshallah, all in all, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from ever getting caught up in the mix of backbiting. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be protected from thinking badly of our brothers and sisters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from spying on one another, to seek faults of one another. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always wish well upon one another. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us because we are so faulty in our own lives. We have so many mistakes in our own lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to forgive and pardon the people around us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Inshallah, we'll part ways for Salatul Isha. Tomorrow is the poetry night, by the way. If you're interested, inshallah, in coming to that, I believe we have a few people already that are going to be performing pieces. We have a lot of people who signed up just to come and attend. So inshallah, we'd love to have you tomorrow. The RSVP link is on the Roots Instagram page. We'll see y'all inshallah tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.